SAM Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. It's Friday. We made it. One more week is down and out. Almost. We're almost there. You know, when I'm not looking at politics, I have to tell you this. One of my indulgences, if you will, guilty pleasures. I enjoy, you know, those videos. People post great videos on Facebook. It's now actually getting to be the only tolerable thing on Facebook. Pictures of kids, kittens, puppies, maybe an occasional raccoon. You know, they do cool tricks. And also these pictures, I love these videos, videos of these life and death struggles between giant animals. There was one on there the other day of an elephant getting attacked by a crocodile. Did you see this? The elephant puts its trunk in the water, and the croc's, you know, hanging out in the shallow swampland. And grabs the elephant by the trunk, and now, I mean, it's not the biggest elephant. It's the smaller elephant in the herd, and they're fighting, and some other elephants come along and trample the croc. And I think the elephant, if I recall, gets away. Remind you of anything? if I could use it as an extended metaphor, Trump is draining the swamp. I don't know if he's using his trunk, but he's draining the swamp. And this is a life and death struggle. One side's going to win. There's no draw here. You've got to have someone's going to come out of this the victor. And I know that the press views it as a life and death struggle because of there's an almost an element of absurd. I don't know what to call it exactly. Desperation. They're printing stories right now. It's laughable. They're printing stories with these sources that are not backed up. Some of these sources now are even denying. You know, they get a named source and somebody follows up on the story and says, "Hey, you know that article in the Washington Post about the leaking? Yeah, nope, I didn't say that. They're misquoting me." And that's why they're hiding behind these anonymous sources. They've got these people that are not going on the record with their names. There's no way to fact check it. And normally, just so you know, this is not the way you go about doing it. There's a great example of to what lengths journalists normally go when the story is not about someone that they're intending to ruin. And one of those great examples is I have it here in my stack. There was, let's see here. This was in The Observer. And they're talking about a story about Loretta Lynch. Do you remember her? How she got cornered by Bill Clinton on the tarmac. The story is not important. You read the article. And the entire article explains, all right, we've got a confidential source. But we've looked at his credentials. We've verified that he was there that day. Oh, they're hiding his gender pronouns. So they're not he, she, because, you know, really off the record type source. But they're verifying that this person was there, that they are who they say they are, et cetera, et cetera. That's normally how you do these things. And I tell you, one of the best examples now is in the news of this latest absurdity. And it's Friday. I want to have a little bit of fun. It's been a long week. Have you seen this curtains drama? Or Huggate, depending on which you want to call it. So there's an event. I got to set this up. There's an event at the White House. And it's Trump throwing a thank you event for law enforcement for their efforts during the inauguration. He invites a number of law enforcement personnel to the White House, including FBI Director James Comey. And now Comey goes to the White House and apparently is just loathing the entire idea of going. And we know this because his close friend, a guy named Benjamin Wittes, who we find out is the Memogate source. He's the source on the New York Times Memogate story, saying that Comey has memos of his interactions with Trump, his meetings with Trump. And specifically, this is the source who told the New York Times that Comey had a memo where he was threatened by Trump to drop the camp, you know, the investigation into the Russia thing. So this Wittes guy, this is good, okay? This Wittes guy, he's a Comey friend, described as a close Comey confidant. And he goes on PBS NewsHour. And William Brangham there is asking him about this. And he says, you know, hey, so tell me about this event. What happened? What was he thinking? What was Comey's perspective on it? And what did he do when he got there to the event? Because you say he didn't want to go. Here's what he said.
He really wanted to kind of blend in and not be singled out. And he's 6'8". So it's when you're
kind of tough to do that.
When you're 6'8", it's really hard to blend in. He's wearing, if you watch the video of it, he's wearing a blue blazer. And he stands in the part of the room that is as far from Trump as it is physically possible to be, and also against blue drapes that are the same color as his.
He chose that spot?
He chose that spot because it was, like almost like a chameleon, camouflaged
blend
against
in.
The wall.
Okay, so the FBI director, the top cop in the country, goes to the White House and wears a blue blazer and stands against the blue drapes so he can hide and be like a chameleon? Is this getting a touch absurd? Well, wait, there's more. So he goes on, this Benjamin Wittes guy goes on, describing how Comey's standing there, you know, hiding in plain sight. And he thinks maybe I'm going to get away with this. Maybe Trump isn't going to notice. Here's what he says.
He described, thinking he'd gotten away with it. And the meeting goes on. It went on a long time. And Trump had not singled him out. And then right at the end, Trump singles him out in a fashion that he regarded as sort of, calculated to maximally drive home this sensitivity among Democratic voters, which is to say, I forget the exact quote, hey, look, he's even more famous than I am.
I want to point something out here, and I hope you're listening to this with a critical ear. Because it's long been my contention that Comey's a political animal. That he's exactly the thing that you don't want to have from the top cop, from the FBI director. The FBI director ought to be the best policeman this country has, not the best politician. And the way this quote is worded, and Wittes is he's a smart guy. He's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute. He's a journalist. He's a non-lawyer who writes about legal issues. I don't know what that is. I think it's like when you go on WebMD when you have cancer. But anyway, but he's a smart guy. He's using his words precisely. This is him quoting his friend. Okay, this is him quoting Comey. And he said he considered, this is Comey considered, right? That's the pronoun there. It's referring to Comey. And he's saying Comey considered that this Trump move, this, hey, calling, because I've seen the video, by the way, the actual video, I'll get into that in a minute. But he acknowledges he's got the FBI director up on the stage. I mean, let me just throw out the flip side of this. The argument against it is you've got the FBI director in the room. What, do you not acknowledge him? You thank everybody in the room and you mention a few key people, and then you don't mention and don't acknowledge that you've got the FBI director on the stage? I don't know. Doesn't sound like the right move. But anyway, he considered, this is the quote, Comey considered that that move, right, to single him out and to draw attention to him was calculated to maximally drive home the sensitivity among Democratic voters. Hey, look, he's even more famous than I am. And it's a reference to the election. I don't know about you. I want my country's FBI director to be like Joe Friday on Dragnet. I want him to be just the facts, ma'am. You know, when the lady starts going off into left field, just the facts. I don't want my FBI director to be concerned about optics, to be concerned about politics, to give a one hair on the rat's rear end what any Democratic voters think of him. Who gives a crap? It should be wholly and entirely irrelevant to him. And the fact that he's sitting around with one of his homies talking about this and going, man, I was up there, and just think about how they must look to Democratic voters, and Trump just did this whole thing to single me out. He just, you know, this whole thing was just orchestrated to really make Democrats who are looking at me up on that stage loathe me. Since when does an investigator, since when does a policeman think in terms of what the public thinks of what they're doing? I thought the whole idea is you arrest the bad guys. Doesn't matter if the bad guy is a nun. Well, you know what I mean. You know, but or a total, you know, or a totally like distasteful scuzz bucket. Doesn't matter. A crime's a crime. The police should investigate, determine the facts, turn it over to the Justice Department, to a prosecutor, and they make the determinations of whether to file charges or not. That's the way our system works, just so you know. This here is being talked about in completely the wrong terms. The media is taking the story and using it to show how, wow, look, now we really understand what a creep Trump is, because he, man, you know, he made that poor Comey guy feel so uncomfortable that he had to hide in the curtains. You kidding me? Isn't this story really? We had an FBI director who was so political that he was taking these, making these gymnastic-like contortions of logic that were, in their thinking, at their core, deeply political. It's not an elected position. This is not a political position. You want more evidence of this? So he continues. This Wittes guy continues talking on PBS about this hug, supposedly, that happened. And this is what he said.
What he told me was that he was, it was bad enough that he was there. It was bad enough that there was going to be a handshake. But, you know, there really wasn't going to be a hug. And so if you watch the video, he extends his hand, and Comey's arms are really long, and he extends his hand kind of preemptively, and Trump grabs the hand and kind of pulls him into a hug. But the hug is entirely one-sided. So one guy in the hug is shaking hands, and the other guy is hugging. And Comey was just completely disgusted by, disgusted by the episode. He thought it was an intentional attempt to compromise him in public in a way that would sow and emphasize concerns that half of the electorate had about him and the Bureau.
I found two videos, and I'm sure there are more because I just ran out of time. This thing is getting so stupid. Of Comey getting a half hug from Obama. All right. I guess he likes getting hugged by Obama and not Trump. I guess he doesn't like Trump. I guess Maybe the Trumpster has some really nasty aftershave. So what do I know about Comey? He gets nauseous easily. He gets disgusted easily. And I am telling you right now, you have got to see this video. We're going to put this up on Facebook. I want to put this up. You be the judge. Look at our Sam Nation Facebook. I am looking at this video right now, and I am at my wit's end. I do not see what this Benjamin Wittes guy is talking about. You think, no, this is real. When we come back, I'm going to explain to you why what Wittes is saying is 100% legit. No, it's coming from Comey. I'll tell you why when we come back. We'll be back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky here. I'm going to talk about Sweet James right now because I'll tell you, you never want to need a lawyer because it usually means that you're in trouble. You got something that you need help with. But when you do need a lawyer in that moment, what happens? You wish you knew the right one. And that's why you need to have Sweet James in your hip pocket. Well, not him literally, because, you know, he's got the beard. So you have to let the beard out a little bit. But James, he's a lawyer that you need to call if you're injured, if you're hurt. You got some insurance company, you know, trying to offer you, throw pennies, dollars at you. And don't even talk to them. If you get into a car accident, motorcycle accident, boating accident, something falls on you, some crazy liberal goes crazy and smashes into your car, call Sweet James Bergner. His phone number is 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. And he's the guy who, free consultation, no recovery, no fee. He will take care of you no matter what. All right. And he's got a website. Check it out. SweetJames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we're back talking about the Comey developments today. One of Comey's homies has been unmasked. And this is the guy. His name is Benjamin Wittes. And I mentioned to you that he's this journalist who also is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute. It was one of these establishment think tanks. So this is someone who is, well, should we say part of the swamp? It's important, right? Because the swamp is fighting back against Trump. And this is the guy that was the unnamed source in the New York Times story earlier this week about Comey's memos. I guarantee you the level of detail here. And also this guy, he's kind of a gadfly. He likes to write about law, but he's not a lawyer. And it's an interesting point. I'm going to make it because there are people like that who, I know, they're not like groupies. They're just like people who, well, they want to be in the band, but they all they can do is write about it. And he's parlayed this into some kind of gig at Harvard Law School. It's an interesting thing. But what I'm getting at is I promise you that Wittes is the, I don't know, the junior member in this friendship. He's the guy who is the think tank guy. He's the writer. And he loved having a friend who was the FBI director. Because I am sure the sources used to go the other way, right? I mean, Comey was feeding him information. He'd write about a story and he'd be the, you know, he'd have a really good source. So I promise you he wouldn't want to burn that. But at the same time, I think Comey, right, is using him to speak on his behalf. And it explains again, it shows again the levels of, I don't know, the political interest that Comey has to an otherwise very, in my view, you know, straightforward story. He got fired. All right. Was there an intent to obstruct? We'll find out. Now we've got a special prosecutor. So isn't it funny that the day after we hire a special prosecutor, we've got, you know, Robert Mueller, coming in and investigating. They'll investigate everything related to this, right? Because we're told that Comey was fired because the heat he was putting on Trump regarding the Russian investigation. So Mueller, this is in Mueller's purview. He's gonna follow the leads where they go. And so out the very next day that we find out that there's a special investigator, what happens? Comey's homie comes out of hiding and he starts saying all this nonsense about, I don't know, Comey hiding in the curtains, deliberately wearing a blue blazer so he could hide like a chameleon, quote unquote. And then we have news a little bit later that Comey is volunteering to testify to the Senate Intelligence Committee, not in closed session, but in open session for the public and media to see. A total showboat. And you know what? I'm beginning to agree with Trump. Chameleon in the drapes? He is nuts. All right. We got John Wolf up next with the news, who is not nuts. I can promise you that. Back after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Live from the Sweet James studio, still deep behind the orange curtain, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, on Talk Radio 790 KBC. If you want to be on the program on this Friday evening, 800-222-5222, call me. Also, you can email me, sam@samnation.com. I think this latest development from CNN, or as reported on CNN here moments ago, clarifies why Comey's homies, and specifically this fabulous and interesting gadfly, what's his name? Benjamin Wittes, has come out with all of these, what do we call these? Statements on Comey's thinking, on his state of mind, on his opinion of Trump. The reason it's all coming out now, well, let me read the headline and then I'll tell you. CNN reports former FBI Director James Comey now believes that President Donald Trump was trying to influence his judgment about the Russia probe. A person familiar with his thinking says, this is the obligatory line. We have one person, one source who's talking to CNN, who is familiar with Comey's thinking. Probably someone who is being put out there by Comey. Comey's saying, hey, you go tell him this is what I'm thinking. But whether, this continues, but whether that influence amounts to obstruction of justice remains an open question. Remember this news broke about the memo? The news broke. See, Comey's homies thought they were going to put that memo out there, the memo story, and everybody was just going to lose their minds. And everybody did. For 24 hours, everybody lost their minds. And then, of course, real journalists came to the rescue and found Comey's testimony, which dates back to, when was this, on May the 3rd. And he was questioned by Senator Mazie Hirono, Democrat Hawaii, Senate Intelligence Committee, okay, asking, and that's where she asked him, have you ever been influenced, or have you ever, for political reasons, been taken off of an investigation? The obstruction of justice, right? Code for that. And Comey answered no. And then goes into great detail, I think, and I've played the clips for you, where he emphatically says, no, this has never happened in my experience. So this is why you're going to see more of Comey's people coming out. It is a concerted effort to rehabilitate and to reconcile the difference between his sworn testimony and the new narrative that he wants to put out. Notice he's not going to be testifying to the Senate on Monday. He's going to be testifying. That was another bit of big news today, that Comey's going to be talking to the Senate Intelligence Committee again under oath. The report is that it's happening sometime after Memorial Day. Expect a lot of these stories between now and then, because these are setups. These are setups to tweak the narrative and to adjust the story in a way that will allow Comey to come and say, now you got to understand the circumstances under which when I was testifying to you, dot, 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 there is going to be maneuvering. And at the heart of it is an intent to damage the president. You must understand Comey is not an independent cop. He is a deeply political animal and someone who is a Washington player who's playing a Washington game. And his game in the long run is success for himself. And I haven't even talked to you about the whole angle of this is a guy that's fired and he's pissed at his boss. I mean, it's a pretty normal scenario, right? I'm getting at this from a higher level, but that certainly is also a factor in this that cannot be denied. All right, back after this.
Say, what is this? You know what it is.
790-790-790-KABC.
All right, we are back. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. We have a caller who's, well, suspiciously enough, his name is Sam as well. Sam, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. How you doing, Sam?
Hey, great. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, thank you very much. First, I want to applaud you on trying to provide us with all the facts out there. So thank you so much for doing that. I try to listen to your show every night as much as I can. Here's the deal, man.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. I'm trying to figure out if the James Comey situation with Trump, and Comey has memos and Trump has his side of the story. I'm a very scientific kind of guy. I'm trying to look for the facts and evidence. And how come we're not seeing anything? I'm trying to figure out this whole deal, and it's really difficult. If this was any other case, we would have had facts, and everything would have been substantiated. Why are we not seeing those things? Why are we not seeing the memos? Why are we not seeing the recordings? And I want to see what your thoughts are on this.
Well, I'll tell you what they are. It's actually a terrific question, because it's something I was intending to talk about today. Let me ask you this. You know the meeting that took place in the Oval Office, where we found out that Trump first, what happened? Trump supposedly blew some top secrets to the Russians. And in the same day, same meeting, he called Comey a nut job. Now, we know about both those things. Do you know how many U.S. officials were in that office?
There were four.
There were four. And it was Trump, the vice president, McMaster was there, and then Tillerson, the secretary of state. And yet, Pretty much everything that went down in that super, would you not agree, super private meeting, basically everything damaging. I mean, maybe there's more, but two damaging things, and arguably, have come out, and we're talking about them openly. The White House is leaking like crazy. So I'm looking at it like you, and I'm going, okay, if there was damning evidence against Trump of Russia collusion, if there was a smoking gun where, Trump, met, and I'm talking about the law here, met the letter of the law of what obstruction of justice is, or if there was corruption, right, of any magnitude, if there was any real evidence, we'd have it. We'd know it. I mean, I don't think that anything can happen in that White House without it leaking out at this point. Do you see what I'm getting at? I mean, when any Democrat is asked, shoot, even Maxine Waters today was asked, is there any proof? What's the proof? What do you have? And she goes, well, no, it's we don't have anything right now, but it's what we're going to find. That's the real deal. You see what I mean? What do you think about that?
I agree with you 100%. Here's the thing. I like Comey. That's the thing. I like Comey. I think that all these years, he's done great work, right? Okay, he's done great work. He's been very influential, and he's very loyal, and I understand that. But I'm looking for, in this specific case, I'm looking for the evidence, and we're not seeing any of that. And I agree with you. Why are we not seeing any of that?
Well, I appreciate your call very much, Sam. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. And I'm glad that you listened to the program. So please hang on if you can. We're going to get your number and get some swag, show swag, your way. Okay. So hang tight. We'll get all your information. Let me tell you something about Comey. I don't think he was that great of an FBI director. I mean, you know, and I also think he's kind of a liar. Let me give you one example. You know the whole the situation with Omar Mateen, who was the Pulse nightclub terrorist attack in Orlando. So you know that the FBI had been contacted, and prior to that, about Mateen. And I actually want to discuss this because it's an important thing about the explanation that was given by Comey related to Mateen that I remember in the moment this was deeply troubling. So I want to get into this when we come back. I'm out of time, but I will get to this after the break.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
You know, Sam from San Bernardino raises a very good point, because I think there are a lot of people out there who look at Comey and he's a clean cut, you know, square looking guy, typical, you know, FBI agent, you know, preppy looking and solid and gave testimony and he talks in this kind of aw shucks kind of way. You got to square that against reality. You remember the Pulse nightclub shooting? Where Omar Mateen went in and killed a number of people. He was working as a court security guard. Remember this before the incident happened? And he was so he's working in the courts, and he is making horrible comments to people about gays and about, you know, just he's making some crazy statements, threatening statements, that type of thing. And the Los Angeles Times, after when the story broke, they talked about the sheriff out there. Ken Mascara was his name. And he's the sheriff of St. Lucie County in Florida. Now, he's the guy who blew the whistle on Mateen to the FBI. So he calls the FBI, makes a standard report, and he says, look, we got a serious problem here. This dude that, you know, basically works as a function of my department, courthouse security, I'm getting these reports on him, and you got to check this guy out. So the FBI comes in, and the FBI under Comey is very politically correct. It's one of the things that I rail about here on the program. If you listen, you know I care about facts. I don't like to sanitize things. I mean, political correctness doesn't—it costs us lives. I don't think we oftentimes realize this. So you got a guy. He's Muslim. He's getting into some extremist ideology, doesn't like gay people, talking about killing and mayhem and all that good stuff. Cause for concern, you think? But the FBI looks at it and on Comey's watch says, yeah, we think that's okay. Not going to do it. We, you know, it's okay. But that's not the scandal. The scandal was when Comey's questioned about it. Here's what he says. He says that he calls the tip that he received on Mateen, that the FBI received, as being filed or put forward or submitted, whatever you want to call it, by, quote unquote, a random concerned citizen. Here's an idea, Comey. A random concerned citizen is not the freaking sheriff for the county where this nightmare went down. A sheriff, a top law enforcement officer of a county, is not some random concerned citizen. And if you look through Comey's history, you realize, again, he's a political guy, political animal, and he does a lot of, he's done things like this before. This is not Boy Scout material, not in my book. This is political correctness, political thinking, interfering with what should be a just the facts, ma'am, kind of job. And that's what I, by the way, want in a new FBI director. And I'm looking at this Lieberman stuff, and I'm not particularly enthused. I think the right guy for the job is a cop. And it ought to be, like one recent New York Post op-ed piece that I read, it ought to be the best cop we have. And it really should not be somebody who's a Washington guy. It should be somebody who's a law enforcement guy. Just saying. You know, by the way, that this hug thing, this Trump hug thing, was not the only hug in the news today. Yesterday, actually, it was Shepard Smith. You know, he's the openly gay anchor at Fox News. And he was talking about Roger Ailes. And he talked about, he gave a eulogy yesterday. It was very moving. And he talked about how Ailes really welcomed him and his partner to his home and that kind of thing. But he also mentioned how Ailes would end every of their meetings, no matter how hard it was or difficult it was, if he was telling him something, he would give him a hug. And he would say, hey, I love you. You know, be strong. You know, you're going to do great things. And I remember the scandal with women coming forward saying that they were getting long hugs from Roger Ailes, and that was evidence of sexual harassment. I don't know. It sounds like Ailes was an equal opportunity hugger. That's right. Make America hug again. I love it. All right, we're back after this.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.